the podcast with your host, Mike May.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is April 19th, 2024, and the regular season has come to a close. The Hurricanes finished 52-23-7, good enough for 111 points, second in the Metro, second in the East, and third in the NHL. This also marks the fourth consecutive season in which the Canes have had a 50 or greater win pace. That is a very rare feat to attain, and I've mentioned it previously on podcasts. It's a great time to be a Canes fan. The sustained success is really encouraging. The culture shift is fantastic. So we're really living in a great period of time. Another great regular season. Lots of stuff to talk about in this episode. We'll check in on some introductions to some prospects, run through some regular season awards, surprises, and then we'll start to break down the playoffs. So starting with checking in on the youngins, Nadeau, Morrow, and Blake all make their NHL debuts. Really exciting to see the quality of talent that the Canes have in the pipeline. These were some of the guys that we hoped the Canes wouldn't move at the trade deadline. Players with really bright futures in front of them, and we got to see some of that in the regular season this year. We'll start by talking about Bradley Nadeau. I was really impressed by his play. You can see the shot. He's got a wicked shot on him. But the thing that also surprised me was his confidence to be a playmaker. There were some times where he was making some passes that, you know, the creativity was up there. The confidence to be that creative is impressive as well. All around on the offensive side, looks like a player that has a skill set that can be a massive benefit to the Carolina Hurricanes. I mentioned on previous episodes, I see him as a guy that's going to be a difference maker on the power play. And I do think that he'll have top six potential in terms of playing on an offensive line. I'd love to see him get some consistent time in the next year or two playing with some talented teammates. I think he's got the tools that can really bring out the best of a playmaker with his ability to finish and his IQ. I think the future is super bright for Bradley Nadeau. Moving on to Morrow. Excellent in the sense of confidence again, right? So Morrow, he's always been a polarizing prospect in the sense that, you know, there's likely some ego there. And that may have been one of the reasons why there was a little bit of a drop when he made it to the second round for the Hurricanes to select. But the skill is certainly there. You see the way he's wheeling around the zone. That doesn't look like a rookie out there skating. He's got the confidence to make the plays, snapping the puck onto players' sticks and breakouts. The offensive piece is there. The skating is there. The question is going to be how does he adapt to the NHL over time defensively? We're going to have to see improvement in that side of the game for him to be a top four defenseman. Regardless, power play utility will likely be in the NHL next year full time. So exciting, exciting to get to see a sneak peek of that. And then Jackson Blake. Lots to like about this kid. He's going to need a little bit more time seasoning. Would like to see him add some muscle, but he's a playmaker. He has the ability to be a difference maker. I think that he would be a great partner with a Nadeau down the line. We'll have to see how that game shakes out. Another excellent draft pick by the Hurricanes, picking him in the fourth round. Didn't get to see a ton from him, but looked the part, looked ready to play, and I'm excited to see him develop as well. The reality is this is a very, very small sample size for all these players. They've flashed the skill that we all knew they have. Now can they build into full-time NHL players? It's a big jump going to an 82-game season. And when you're playing on the Hurricanes, you're likely seeing the playoffs as well. Being physically prepared for that, being mentally prepared for the rigor of the NHL schedule is going to be a big part of their development, right? We know they have the skill. We know they have the IQ. Now it's, can you be a professional on a regular basis? I believe in all three of these players. I think they all have great shots of being long-term Carolina Hurricanes, and we could see them in the NHL consistently as soon as next year in some cases, which is exciting because we're talking about a team that's won 50 games or more four consecutive seasons in terms of pace, because we did have a COVID season in there, but if you adjust it for pace, we're talking about four consecutive 50-win seasons. We're also talking about this youth movement, these young guys that the Canes have done an excellent job drafting, and they've been in great places to develop. It's exciting when you have the sustained success the Hurricanes have. You get to be excited about the future while also enjoying the present. So, good news. Really, really happy to see those debuts. Moving on to awards. It was an up and down season, right? There was a lot of moments where the Canes did not look to be playing great hockey. They managed to find a way, and get to the point where we're at now. But it wasn't always the best season. And that's because the standard, the expectation that has been set for this organization has increased drastically. To where now you feel weird during a 52-win season. You're like, oh, this is not what we expect the boys to look like. But they were able to turn around in the second half of the season. I talked about this on episodes earlier in the season. You never want the beginning to be the hottest you play. You'd like to end on a high note. You would like to be playing your best hockey in April, in May, in June. And the Hurricanes are trending in that direction. We're going to start off the MVP, and he's consistently been this, in my opinion, for the franchise, is Sebastian Aho. Fantastic season, career high in points, 89 points, 1.14 points per game, which is really star-level production. And what it doesn't take into account is the fact that Aho plays a very responsible two-way game, a guy that can do it all. He's a Swiss Army knife that also produces offensively. He is an elite hockey player. We're extremely lucky to have him in Carolina, and he continues to put the team on his back. In my mind, there's no way that he's not the captain moving forward when Jordan Staal finally hangs him up. And I'm not a big believer in a guy passing the C off in the middle, like in the tail end of their career. I think Staal should wear that C until he decides he can't contribute to the franchise anymore. And when that day comes, Sebastian Aho should be your next captain. Next award is the Welcome to the Club Award. It's for the new guy who had the best impact on the team. Hands down, Guentzel. 17 games played, 25 points, immediate chemistry with Aho and Jarvis, and also played well when he was put on other lines. Just a guy that jumped in, was able to pick up the Canes system very, very quickly, and was able to produce. With that being said, he started off well. There's another level to this. He's going to continue to improve. His best games as a Hurricane aren't going to be his first 17, which is extremely encouraging heading into the playoffs when you need a guy who historically shows up in the playoffs to be a guy that raises the level for your organization. And Guentzel can be that. And the fact that he started off as hot as he has is encouraging to me when we think about making a deep playoff run. The next award will be the Big Stepper. That's for the player that's taken the biggest step in their career. And I think that one has to go to Seth Jarvis. career high goals, career high assists, career high points. 33 goals, 34 assists, 67 points. Just fantastic season. He played a lot of that season on a line that doesn't produce a ton of offense and just really has put together a complete game. It's super exciting to watch him develop. We knew he had the skill. You know, he's a guy that plays with no fear. Defensively excellent. Maybe one of the best defensive players, or forwards, I should say, on our team. I think, you know, he competes with a Jordan Staal in that category. Just an absolutely excellent season from Jarvis all around. The player that we thought we were getting, he's turned into it already. I think there's another level to his game. We've mentioned previously that it's a guy that could end up being a center down the road. We'll see how that shakes out. But there's just no doubt that he took a massive step this year. And it's going to be really important if the Canes want to win the Stanley Cup. The last award, the comeback player of the year. Don't even have to think about this one twice. It's Frederik Andersen. What a challenging year for him. Blood clots are terrifying. We've heard Freddie give interviews. You can see how relieved he was to be back and to be able to do what he loves. And you know the level of stress that came with the diagnosis, the treatment, the not being able to be out there playing with his teammates, et cetera, et cetera. Just amazing mental fortitude to come back to the lineup and then to play the way he has. 1.84 goals against, .932 save percentage. Looking like the Freddie we know, and another guy that we expect to elevate his game in the playoffs. That's the biggest piece of this puzzle. If Freddie Andersen plays the best hockey of his career in this playoffs, the Carolina Hurricanes will be Stanley Cup champions. I can tell you that right now. The team is deep. They've got the pieces needed to score and defend. If Freddie can play lights out hockey, this team wins the Stanley Cup. I think there's no doubt about it. Now, there's a couple players I want to talk about outside of those guys that we've given those awards to that I thought had surprising seasons, in a sense. Svech caught a lot of flack throughout the season. You know, he went through a string of taking bad penalties. Everyone's got an opinion, so on and so forth. Well, Svech averaged 0.88 points per game. Let's let that sink in. We're upset about a guy that's nearly a point per game player in a down season. That's exciting to me because we know what Andre can be when he's at maximum throttle, when he's playing controlled hockey, but being physical, winning board battles, getting his shot off, et cetera, et cetera. So if we're going to say he had a bad season, it's just another testament to how good this team is and how far we've come as a franchise that we're worried about a guy who had 0.88 points per game. Obviously, the penalties can get frustrating, but I fully expect the best version of Andrei Svechnikov to show up in the playoffs. And I think we need to realize that he had a better season than some people are giving him credit for. And then there's Brady Shea, who I'm going to call Brady Paid at this point. 80 games played, 47 points, just an absolute fixture on the second pairing. I almost have to eat my words. I never really expected Brady's impact to be as great as it has been. I know it's something that we've talked about over and over and over again, how hard it is to step into the Hurricanes lineup, especially as a defenseman, and get going at full speed. And it took him a little bit of time. But once Brady settled in, he's become one of the best second-pairing defensemen in the NHL, in my opinion. He's going to get paid. Who knows if it'll be with the Hurricanes. The reports have been they've offered him some interesting contracts. Who knows what that means? Likely something short term with a lot of incentive, a lot of money. Who knows what it is? But Brady had another excellent season. He's going to get paid. He's going to be a very big part of this playoff run. And then Piotr Kochetkov. Tough start to the season. Really settled into his own and showed why he is the future goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes. 2.33 goals against, 9.11 save percentage, all after being pretty bad to start the season. That shows a mental toughness that you need to be a successful NHL goalie, and it is encouraging for the future, especially when you know you have him locked in at only $2 million a year moving forward. So the season went well. The Hurricanes did what they needed to do. We said this team needs to get to this playoffs. The team needs to be healthy when they get there, and they need to be progressing towards the best hockey that they can play. Well, they're pretty healthy outside of Jesper Foss injury, in the last game, which we'll see when he returns. It could be game one. It could be later in the series. The team's healthy. We're able to get some guys some rest towards the end of the season. Check. That's a successful regular season. I do believe they're trending towards playing their best hockey. And when the stakes are up, these guys show up. There's no doubt about it. I'm encouraged knowing that when we hit the ice on Saturday, this team is going to be full of energy. The crowd is going to be full of energy, and it's going to start another electric playoff run. Now, on Saturday, the Hurricanes face the Islanders. This is going to be the third time we've met in the playoffs since the 18-19 sweep. We also beat them last year in six games. So this is a series where there's some familiarity. There's some bad blood. I fully expect the Islanders to come out and try to play physical, scrappy, borderline dirty hockey, because they're going to know that that's going to be the only way that they're able to beat a Hurricanes team. The Hurricanes have been through it. One of the benefits of continuous success reaching the playoffs is you've been there, you've done that. This isn't a surprise to anybody on the roster. Everybody knows what's coming up in the playoffs, and everybody's excited for it. There's not going to be fear going into this run. The Canes know what they're up against. They know they're better, and they're not going to be scared off by some physicality. And that's a big step. It's easy for young teams to step into that spotlight and be scared of the moment. The pace of play picks up. The physicality picks up. Everybody's at their sharpest. But I do fully expect the Hurricanes to win this series. And I really expect them to win it in five games, because they're really better in every single category. They've been better at scoring goals all year. They've been better at stopping the puck from going in the net, right? The Islanders average 2.99 goals a game. The Hurricanes average 3.38. The Islanders average 3.15 goals against. The Hurricanes average 2.57. So throughout the year, the Canes have been better at scoring and better at keeping the puck out of the net. That's obviously a pretty big deal. But we know that in the playoffs, one of the most important aspects of the playoffs is the special teams. Well, the Islanders finished the season at 20.35% on the power play. The Canes were a hair under 27%. So that's a big advantage to the Hurricanes. But an even bigger advantage is going to be in the penalty kill. The Islanders ended the season at 71.5% on the penalty kill, which is awful. The Hurricanes were 86.43%. They've always been good at the penalty kill. The penalty kill is going to be extremely important. The Canes have had it. What they now have to go in tandem with it is a great power play. Special teams are so important in the playoffs. The Hurricanes are built to win, especially against an Islanders team that struggles in both departments. The Hurricanes have consistently been knocked for being a team that takes a lot of shots and doesn't score a bunch of goals off of them. Well, shooting percentage, Islanders 9.9% on the season, Hurricanes 10.1%. So the Hurricanes are scoring more of the shots they take as well. We know they like to play a volume game, but they also have high-quality talent that's able to produce and finish. The goaltending duel, Piotr and Freddie, have ended the season better than Varlamov and Sorokin. We know the talent that's there for the Islanders hasn't showed up this season. Doesn't mean it won't show up in the playoffs, but at this point, everything points firmly in favor of the Carolina Hurricanes winning the series and winning it handily. I think we're going to see excellent production throughout the lineup. I think this Hurricanes team is deep. I don't think teams are going to be able to match up with them on a regular basis. And I think we're going to see a coming out show, if you will, for guys like Sebastian Aho, Seth Jarvis, playing with a Jake Guentzel. I think these guys come out and absolutely light it up in the playoffs and really put themselves on center stage for the NHL. It's an exciting time to be a Canes fan. I'm looking forward to this playoff run. The expectation comes with stress. For the first time in a long time, this team is really in a position to compete for a Stanley Cup, and that does bring a little bit of nerve with it. With that being said, enjoy it. We'll be back with more episodes throughout the series. Likely won't be Friday releases just because we're going to want to time it up in a manner that gets you a condensed information, condensed whatever you want to call it. So be on the lookout. Episodes will be coming out pretty consistently throughout the series. And go Canes.